And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is disinfo regarding colloidal silver with my special guest, Mario Sovaldi of Silver Lungs. And we have a caller on the line, which I'm thrilled over because the call-in line has not worked for like 2 months. But before I bring the caller on, I just want to mention some uses for colloidal silver / ionic silver that we haven't discussed. You can use it to add to drinking water when traveling or camping. You can use it to sterilize things like toothbrushes, including even surgical instruments. I always clean my dog's teeth. I have dental instruments, and I scrape off the tartar, and I basically soak the instruments in colloidal silver / ionic silver before I do so. You can mist kitchen sponges, towels, cutting boards, etc. to prevent food poisoning. You can use it when canning, preserving, and bottling. You can put it on acne. You can add it to juices and milk, although I don't suggest drinking milk, but if you do, use it to delay spoiling. You can spray it in shoes, between legs to stop most skin itch, athlete's foot, fungi, jock itch. You can add it to bath water, gargles, colon irrigation, nasal sprays, and dental water pick solutions. You can neutralize tooth decay and bad breath by gargling it and then swallowing it. You can use it to soak dentures to reduce bacterial count and help prevent mouth infections. You can spray your refrigerator, freezer, and food storage bins with it. You can spray air conditioner filters after cleaning. You can swab air ducts and vents to prevent breeding sites for germs. You can eliminate unwanted microorganisms in planter soils and hydroponic systems. You can spray plant foliage to stop fungi, molds, rot, and most plant diseases. You can rinse fruit and vegetables before storing or using. So as, you know, the USDA is allowing us to get plant products from Mexico that they're using human excrement as fertilizer, you know, since you don't know what you're getting when you go to the store, you know, soak your fruits and vegetables in silver before you eat them. That's what I would do if I was you, and that's what I do. It's excellent for diapers and diaper rash. You can spray toilet seats, bowls, tile floors, sinks, urinals, doorknobs to disinfect, etc., etc. So those are some of the other uses for silver that I tell my clients about and that I do as well. Okay, we have a caller on the line. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hi, Dr. Kelly and Mario. This is Reagan. Can you hear me?
Hey there.
I can hear you.
Hello. You can't hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I just want to say I have the silver generator from Silver Lungs. I think I've had it for about, 4 years. I love it. It works great. I've made a lot of silver. I've helped people. I've helped my family, my dog, my cat. And I thank you so much for all those new uses. I should have been writing them all down. But I wanted to comment on something, and I missed part of the show, but you were talking about when people turn blue, whatever that's called.
Yeah, Argyria. Although I just want to comment on that. In my opinion, from my research, Argyria is where people turn a little gray. I still think that that man used a copper solution on him to make himself blue, because copper turns you blue. So what I think is that that's what he did to make himself more dramatic. But go ahead.
Do you remember his name?
Yeah, Paul Carrick.
Yeah,
okay, I'm talking about some... I wanted to tell you a story about the turning blue thing.
Okay.
There was a man at the Continental Congress. He was a delegate at the Continental Congress in 2009. And when I first saw him, I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, his skin was so gray, he looked like he was going to have a heart attack. But it actually was blue, and somebody said, well, that's from colloidal silver. So, and I had already gotten I was using my generator from Silver Lungs, which I love, and I had been using, and so I wanted to talk to him. So I introduced myself to him, and he told us the whole story was, that he made his own colloidal silver for many, many years, and he was fine. And then he moved to somewhere out in the country that he was on a well with a lot of iron and stuff in the water, which he didn't filter his water. He never filtered his water when he made the colloidal silver.
Absolutely. And so, that's the whole catch. Was his name Stan Jones by chance?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, Stan Jones. Yeah, absolutely. And Stan Jones, I believe as well that I have read, I don't know the accuracy, but people need to do their own research and find out if this is true. But I believe Stan Jones was a user of a product, I think at the time was called Water Oz or Silver Oz or Water OZ. I can't remember exactly the name of it, but I'm almost positive that I've read multiple accounts that he used that product, which was a high concentration form of silver in the form of silver citrate. And citrate is an agent that allows you to break the saturation limit of silver into water. There's only so much silver that can hold in suspension in water in normal conditions. So if you want to be able to put more concentration in an environment like that, you have to add something to the water, whether it's protein or citrate or something along those lines. As soon as you start getting away from pure silver, you're entering the area of no man's land. That's the unknown. It's just you don't actually know what you're doing. If he was using well water and it wasn't filtered, I mean, well water is littered with hundreds, if not possibly thousands of parts per million of other ions. That's why you use distilled water. That's the emphasis on pure water, because then there's nothing in the water but oxygen, possibly, which is irrelevant, and silver. So there's no compounds being formed. If there are, it's something like silver oxide, and silver oxide has absolutely no bad information associated with it. So Stan Jones, from what I remember, was a user of water or silver OZ or water OZ. You may need to Google that and find out. But no, I'm familiar with Stan Jones' case. He's one of 500 people in documented history that have contracted Argyria. And if you look at the case studies of every person that you can get your hands on, the case study, you'll find that they were all homemade solutions using salt, which all you're creating is massive concentrations of silver chloride, which has a propensity for the skin. Or they're using other agents, non-filtered water, saline solution. These are all the urban legends that people circulate around. You know, hey, if you don't want to wait 4 hours for your silver to process, I got a neat little trick for you. Add some table salt. Now you're making silver chloride. Now it's no longer colloidal silver by any definition. It's not ionic silver by any definition. And anything that happens as a result of that is entirely unrelated to what we're doing to begin with. So people just have to be educated in this area to know that pure silver nanoparticles in even high concentrations still don't lead to Argyria. Very isolated cases. So I hope that helps. But, yeah, I'm familiar with Stan Jones.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it does. And I can't recommend your product more highly. I just it gives you so much peace of mind. And I have the nebulizer, I have the nasal spray, I have the regular spray bottle, and I give it to my dog and my cat every day in their water. But now I have all kinds of new uses for it. So anyway, I wanted to thank you both very much. Great show.
Good.
Thank you, Reagan.
I just
wanted to also mention one thing I neglected to mention, although there's many other things, but I think that you may be interested in this. Elderly people that have decubitus ulcers. Of course, the reason they get the decubitus ulcers is because they're laying in bed and the people taking care of them are not moving them often enough so that they're getting, you know, tissue breakdown at the points on their sacral areas, especially that have very thin skin. Colloidal silver is amazing for that. If you can actually get an elderly person in a setting where, you know, the family members are involved, because they're usually going to be more interested in having the person actually heal instead of getting deathly ill and ending up in hospice and getting off the Medicare dole. Colloidal silver sprayed on those wounds is fantastic, much the same as burns. I've seen many amazing results with that as well.
Absolutely.
Well, I have a question then. If you do spray the silver on the wound, then should you air it out, or should you put a bandage over it? Should you let it air, the air get to it, or should
put
a bandage?
The only thing that happens when silver ions are sprayed onto a surface and the water disappears, you form AgO, which is called silver oxide, and it's just a compound of silver. From my experience and from reading the work of Dr. Robert Beck that regrew limbs on salamanders with ionic silver, it requires the silver to be in the ionic state. So my suggestion is, if you had a bad, a bike wreck or a cut or something like that or a burn would be to immediately infuse it and reapply the liquid form of ionic silver, which comes right out of the generator, the regular clear stuff. Keep it basically swimming or soaked continually in the water-based solution. As soon as it dries, it forms a far less effective compound called silver oxide, because an ion forms with oxygen as soon as the water environment is removed. That's a more first-grade chemistry. So again, keep the if you're going to put it on a bandage, make sure the bandage is soaked so it buys you some time. Something else to consider would be a gel. There's lots of silver gels on the market. Some are possibly ionic. Others are simply particulate floating around. If you want to know that you've done the best job that you can of ensuring that the form of silver is ionic, continually spray it or make sure that it's in a water solution and it's almost swimming in that environment.
Okay, I have to say that I concur with what Mario said, and I'm waiting for Mario to come up with a silver gel. Until he does, what people can do is take the silver solution made by your generator, and what I take aloe vera. I have an aloe vera plant. You can actually just, take the gel out of the aloe vera and then combine that with the silver and put it on the wound. I agree with what Mario said. The only thing you have to be careful about in this situation we're discussing is that if you're putting a bandage on, you don't want to have tape on areas of the skin that could possibly be damaged if you rip off the tape. So if you have someone that can sit there and spray every 10
times. You know that the water you're drinking.
And we're back to What's Ailing America, where I answer today's disinfo regarding colloidal silver with my special guest, Mario Cifaldi of Silver Lungs. And Reagan, did you have any other comments or questions?
One quick thing. I just wanted to vouch for what your story about the little boy with the burns, because a few weeks ago I grabbed a iron skillet with my bare hand and I burnt the side of my palm and my little finger, and it really hurt. And I just happened to have a spray bottle of silver right there. I grabbed it. I sprayed it right away. I mean, within like 2 seconds of the burn, and the pain went away completely, and then the redness was gone. 5 minutes later, there was no redness. So I can totally vouch for that about the burns. I saw it with my own. I felt it with my own body.
Right.
But thank you very much.
Yeah, and you know, self-experience is the best testimonial, and that's why I encourage everybody to check this out for yourself. This will to get a Silver Lungs generator is one of the best investments you could possibly make, in my opinion, because as I said, what we're being sprayed with in chemtrails, I know that there's all kinds of pathogens depending on where you live and what experiments being done. As the vaccinees are coughing and sneezing on you as you're out and about, especially your children, if they're going to preschool, even if you're not vaccinating them, they're being exposed to all kinds of bacteria and viruses from the vaccinees, not only that are coughing and sneezing, but are, you know, using toys that are possibly being put in the children's mouths and things of that nature. And, of course, what these places do, if only they knew about silver, and they use these to disinfect the different things that especially young children are exposed to, but what do they use instead? Toxic chemicals. They're putting this hand sanitizer on children. Many of these children have actually been found to have experienced alcohol poisoning because they're licking their hands and stuff, and these materials have alcohol in them at a very high rate. It's very dangerous for the children. So it's just so disgusting, Mario. That silver is being, lied about, and basically, you know, getting people to be scared about using this very wonderful therapy that can be helpful in so many areas. And, of course, I better give my disclaimer. I don't practice medicine. I don't give medical advice either, because when I figured out the cause of all disease, the medical mafia came after me. But in my opinion, this is the first thing anybody should do in order to protect themselves, their families, their pets, their produce, you name it, is to get a colloidal silver generator and to make it, because you can make it for pennies a batch. I make a batch about every other day. That's how fast I go through it. And like Mario said, the silver rods that he provides because of this amazing way he's come up with putting a magnetic rod in there that actually spins the water, the silver rods are not broken down to the extent that other generators have silver rods broken down, and they pretty much last forever. And actually, that brings up another generator, Mario, and I know that you're being nice and you don't want to mention the person that makes the generator, but there's another generator out there that has a bubbler in it, and that's being promoted as a spectacular generator. I actually had one of those before I got yours, and I pretty much gave it away because yours is so much better. But did you want to comment on this whole bubbling thing and what that's supposed to do and what it really does?
Well, I followed my competitor for years now, and oxygenating the water is only a recent timed pitch that I've seen in all the newsletters that have been sent out pertaining to the product. But the bubbling is the cheapest, easiest possible method of stirring the solution. If you're going to properly make a silver solution with any decent concentration and you want the solution to be clean, particulate-free, doesn't collect sludge on the electrodes, doesn't have whiskers of silver hydroxide dripping off that you have to decant away. In other words, if you want a clean solution, you have to stir the solution unless it's a very low concentration and you just cut it off after a few minutes, which there's no point then. The concentration is too low. So the device that you're talking about is from a well-meaning person that understands that silver has a long history and that it is an antibacterial and that there are endless case studies that show that silver is efficacious in and on the body. But the device itself is extremely esoteric, very crude, very cheaply designed. And it's more wrapped around the marketing and the hype for what silver is. So it's, you know, I don't like to mention names and you know, feel like I'm hurting someone else's venture because I believe in the venture that they're in. But, you know, if you're going to stir a solution properly, that's the reason why chemistry labs have magnetic stirring systems. Common questions I get, doesn't the magnet mess around with the metal or the silver? No. Why doesn't a nickel, a penny, a quarter, a dime, why does this not stick to a magnet? There's certain metals that are not magnetically attracted. So silver is one of these metals. So, of course, it's irrelevant that it has a magnetic stirring system. It has no interaction with the silver at all. This is our way of keeping the production chamber sealed during production so that during the 2 to 3 hours it's producing, you're not collecting airborne dust and debris. You don't need that. That's a contamination. Ionic silver is extremely reactive. You don't introduce foreign material into that environment when that's supposed to be something that you use and you're hoping that it stays in the state it was originally made. So the problem with the bubbler, or the good part about it, is it's an extremely cheap way to stir the solution. It's just a simple little fish tank bubbler built into the box that pumps air in it. Now, here's what actually happens from the air pumping. There's no filter on the air pump. So the entire time that you're pumping air through the water, you're sucking in airborne debris and saturating the solution with dust. So you're just literally forcing the airborne debris through a vacuum into the solution. So that's unwanted to begin with. The second thing is the curious byproduct of what's made is not metallic silver. It's not colloidal silver. It's not ionic silver. It's silver oxide. The water is so oversaturated with the constant bubbling of oxygen that what you create at the end of the solution with this bubbling device is 90% silver oxide, which, again, is not toxic. It does have some antibacterial properties, but it's not the prime form that you're looking for, which is either ionic or colloidal, which means particles of the metal. So, you know, it's a very simple to build device. It's very easy to make. It comes with very, very tiny wires. And the problem with the cleaning method is that the material used to clean it is Scotch-Brite, just another cheap little, you know, couple of inch cut of Scotch-Brite. Silver is so soft and Scotch-Brite is so terribly rough, it would be like trying to gently clean your face by dragging it across a gravel road. And that's a perfect analogy. There is more silver wasted in the cleaning process using Scotch-Brite than there is in dissolving 100 batches. And you can measure that. If you have a fine gram scale, microgram scale, you can measure the amount of silver lost from swiping it up and down with the Scotch-Brite. So our unit uses giant rods. They don't use electrodes. They're not little skinny piano string wires. They're giant rods. And the rods are stiff enough that you can use copper. And when you use copper scouring pads,
we got knocked off. Mysteriously, I'm calling you back right now. Hold on, folks. We got knocked off. The phones are fixed, and now we're having more problems. I'm trying to get Mario back on as we speak. Sorry about that. We have no border.
Hey there.
Crap. Okay, go ahead, Mario.
Okay, I don't know where you lost me. Can you remember?
No, I don't know where I lost you either because I don't... See, I'm like bored up by remote control as well as trying to monitor calls and all the rest of the stuff. We were talking about the bubbler.
Yeah, the bubbler. So not sure where we dropped, but I was explaining that our electrodes last so long because we don't use Scotch-Brite to polish the electrodes. That grinds the electrodes, the silver. We use copper, which actually polishes the surface like a mirror instead of scuffing it and gouging it. So, again, the device is a one-time purchase. The rods last forever. We've never sold a set of spare electrodes that needed to be bought. It's just folks that don't happen to read on our website that the rods last forever, and they just assume that they're wearable items and they need to buy extras. So it's another advantage to the unit. Our unit is sealed the entire time, magnetically stirred, does not pick up dirt, air, or debris during the process. It's not bubbled, so you're not creating an abundance of silver oxide. You get raw silver ions, and those, because they're ions, you're able to convert those into particles when you're done. It uses virtually no power at all. I think it uses like 4 watts. You can run it off a battery backup for dozens of sessions. It's the fastest producing silver generator on the market by leaps and bounds. It'll produce 20 part per million of solution in 120 minutes, and from zero impurity water, from perfectly pure water, that's lightning fast. It uses a 48-volt system. No one else uses that. It's they're all 12 to 24 volts. So the differences go on and on, polarity reversal, the dynamic stirring at adjusted speed based on the amount of silver dissolved to compensate for keeping the solution clean. Our generator page on our website, silverlungs.com, with the generator tab explains all of the features that the generator has. And, of course, if there's anything else that folks want explained, you can always email us, info@silverlungs.com. I get questions all the time. We're always ready to help.
And I would like to just mention that Mario is one of the few people that supports my work by giving me a commission when people buy Silver Lungs through me by going to my website. So that's why I would ask people to go to my website, click on the link to him through reversingvaccinereducediseases.com, and then his computer will know that you were referred by me. And I really do appreciate that, Mario, because so few people support my work. Of course, I'm going up against the entire medical mafia. But if you could just go into, again, this person that makes a generator with a bubbler, that's supposed to be like some great thing. We discussed that before the show. If you could just mention why that's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, the bubbling is just a very cheap way to stir the solution, but it's being respun and marketed as, combining the power of oxygen with silver. I mean, it's unrelated, and I'll tell you why. If all the unit makes is silver oxide, which is just silver and oxygen bound together, which it would be either AgO or Ag2O, that's all that would be created in that scenario. These solutions, as sold from the manufacturer, are for oral consumption, for drinking. As soon as AgO or Ag2O goes into the hydrochloric environment of the stomach or into the blood, it's going to dissociate the oxygen from the silver. It's going to leave a silver ion exposed, and that ion will immediately combine with the most prevalent anion in the body, which is chloride. And you're going to form silver chloride. So it's the same thing as an ionic solution that turns to chloride. It's just one extra step. So it's not a useless form of silver. I'm not going to say that. It's just not the most potent form of silver that can be ingested orally. That would be true colloidal, and that requires a reducing agent to be added at the end of the process to convert the ions into particles. And that's a very simple, first-grade, brainless process. The kit is very easy to use. It's one of those things you read the instructions thoroughly the first time, and you throw them away after that. It's so simple to use the product, very easy.
Well, and I also want to mention, because I had one of those generators, that one of the biggest frauds that I now realize, and I'm using that word, is that, as you mentioned, using these scrubbers to scrub the silver wires is actually destroying the wires. And this is one of the big things that's promoted with that generator. He sells rolls of silver, you know, that and suggests that you stock up on rolls of silver. And so this is a way that individual makes a lot of money. And with your generator, you know, you tell us to use copper scrubbers, which do not take off the silver. And so that's another problem I have, is that why is he telling people to use those scrubbers, which are destroying the silver?
Well, it could be sales-related, and at the same time, it could be part of the very inexpensive generic design of the kit, where copper scrubbers are $2 a piece, because copper is an expensive semi-precious metal, whereas Scotch-Brite, you can buy it in 2-foot squares and cut a little 1-inch square out of each, and it doesn't cost you anything. And it's a very quick, aggressive way of cleaning the silver. You can absolutely take the silver hydroxide coating off of the electrodes at the end of a batch with very little effort, but at the same time, it's grinding through far past the coating and well into the silver. I mean, at the end of the batch, you can remember when you used to use it, you could look at your pad, and the pad would be silver. You would see the raw silver grinded off into the green Scotch-Brite pad.
Exactly. Okay, I have a couple other things I want to cover, but we do have another caller on the line. Caller, please give us your comment or question.
Hello?
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to verify that I used the, I guess they can't call it colloidal silver, call it ionic silver, and it's extremely useful for all the things that you spoke about. But I had a question on, I guess, minions or disinformation. I guess a lot of the information that you know who is coming up with against colloidal silver is coming from Jennifer Lake. Now, Jennifer Lake does seem to have a lot of good information about the medical mafia and polio and all sorts of other different things. And I was curious if you had any motivation as to why she would be so anti-colloidal silver or ionic silver.
Okay, well, I just want to say that that's one of the things I wanted to cover. And that email is entitled, "Every Silver Lining Has a Black Cloud." And I will tell you why. All minions, disinfo people, give 90% truth and 10% lies. And she actually talks about colloidal silver and genocide. And she's the one that came up with this ridiculous posture that because our mitochondria are supposedly, you know, ancient bacterial cells, that therefore colloidal silver is going to kill all our mitochondrial cells. Take it away, Mario.
Yeah, this is actually, I'm looking at the same email that you sent me, and every single quote here, they're too long to, it'll take up too much time to mention, but I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6, but I see 5. Every single one of these quotes is part of this document that she forwarded, which is titled, what is it, Havel.pdf. That's the document that I've taken apart and shown in a narrative throughout the entire toxicity compilation. The caveat to every single toxicity claim in there. And what's funny about this is the same document that in her 4 or 5 quotes here says right at the end of it, which is, I mean, you can't believe it. You'd have to read it to believe it. And I understand if you need to read it to believe it, that it says right here at the end of this big, scary compilation, at minimal and reasonable concentrations of silver, there are no side effects on human health. That's the same document that she quoted from, but she didn't bother to mention that, did she? So that should be enough right there to, you can make your own assumption of what her reasoning would be. Or she breezed right through it, just kind of looking through this, read the captions and said, my God, there's 16 scary titles here. What are the chances that this is all based on agenda and there's catch-22s to every single one of these? I'm just going to sign my name to this and put it out there. It could have just been just being lazy, not reading. But it's very clear. The entire document in my narration is very simple to navigate through, and you'll find out what they failed to mention, the word games, the semantics, and there's all things that you can cross-reference for yourself. There's nothing confusing. So I can't vouch for her reasons for doing that, and I can't vouch for or I can't say for sure what Patrick's reasons are. I feel like Patrick's reasons are just more to discredit you for something that you promote every single show. And I think Patrick honestly doesn't have the slightest fear of silver, to be honest with you. I really don't. That's just my opinion. Yeah.
And I want to say, I do not promote anything, because I did mention that you give me a commission for generators that are sold by people linking through my website. There is no way in HE Double Hockey Sticks that I would promote anything just to get a commission. As I said, I've used this myself for 15 years. My pets take it. All my clients are told about this. I tell people about this because I know it works. I have seen the results myself, and my clients have seen the results. And so I don't know the motivations of Jennifer Lake either. In fact, who is this Jennifer Lake? What is her background? Where did she come from? How did she become an expert on colloidal silver? I don't know. But my point is that people are being misled. And this is very serious because this, as we're being basically depopulated by these psychopaths that control the world, we need everything we can have in our personal armamentarium for health in order to keep healthy as we can. It's very important. Anything else, caller?
Yeah, another one last quick question. There's a book by you-know-who out there, ICD-999, mm-hmm. and because of this whole colloidal silver thing, that begins to make me question, is there a lot of other disinformation in ICD-999? Now, I was in the biological field, and I don't see a lot in there. It's the ICD-99 seems pretty accurate to me, but are there things I should be aware of in there?
Well, I will be honest and say I haven't even had a chance to go through the whole thing, but what I will say is that the person that discovered ICD-999, the actual medical code for vaccine-induced disease, was not Patrick Jordan. It was veterinarian Patricia Jordan. So that's to begin with. All I can say is that you have to use discernment. The reason I had him on my show as long as I did is because he does have good information. But when this whole, you know, plagiarism and then a colloidal silver bashing, and especially when he started calling homeopathy magic, that's when I had to take the gloves off, because my goal is to help people. You know, I have been persecuted, tortured, and pretty much financially devastated because of what I do. I'm not doing this for the big bucks. So I just suggest to everybody to use their discernment, check things out for yourself.
Absolutely. Well, to the caller, let me just say, always remember that in the 3,000 years of documented history that silver has been used as an antibacterial, whether it's as simple as throwing silver dollars, silver coins in wine, water, and milk, which, as you read in Wikipedia, was some of the first documented use of silver as an antibacterial agent, there are no outbreaks or plagues or isolated, semi-isolated cases where silver is the culprit. There's not people showing up to the hospital with failed livers. There's not neurological problems starting to crop up. None of this exists. So you have to remember that there is a strong chance, even if you're very...
Please, you deserve the right to have a long and healthy life.
And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today has been disinfo regarding colloidal silver. And I want to thank that last caller for calling in. And just let people know, I have been fooled many times. I have... there's been many psychopaths that have entered my life pretending that they wanted to help my goal of causing the death of medicine. And I admit that I've been fooled. But I tell you right now that when I find out somebody is a fraud, I come out and expose them. It must be done. And that's not a vengeance thing. That is in order to protect the people who are trying to learn the truth. And don't feel bad if you've been bamboozled as well, because... you know, I've been bamboozled many times, and I try to put up my antennae the best I can, but they are very good at what they do. So, Mario, if you could continue with what you were saying before the break in regards to what you were saying, which I didn't write down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. At the end of the day, we're all sifting through information, and some of us are into this field, know how to research this, have a background in it. and other folks are just trying as hard as they can to understand what they're reading and just, you know, so going with gut feeling. And you know that that's all you're doing is going with gut feeling. So some folks will get fooled by this information from a lack of knowledge, which is understandable, and other folks will be able to weed through it, and other folks will really be able to research and find out that there is an agenda behind this. Just keep in mind, again, that we're not dealing with an outbreak or a plague of problems or complications from silver. There's not a big issue that needs to be addressed, that we finally found the culprit is silver. It doesn't exist. So at the end of the day, if you get as scared of silver as can be, you have to keep things in perspective, that there are hundreds of millions of colloidal silver users over many centuries. And there are no deaths from this. There are no permanent maiming disabilities or complications from silver. So what an article says and what you decide to believe, that's your choice, but just don't lose sight of the facts. And arm yourself for what might be coming next. I mean, somebody could put together a research study at a college or a doctor or so on and so forth that just comes out and says the perfect scenario that goes against everything I've said, that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, non-starch-coated nanoparticles did get into cells and instantly caused the cell to die. They could come up with any claim out of nowhere. That'll be the next attempt, is just to go ahead and write a false study flat out. But at the end of the day, you still have to keep it in perspective. Where did this all of a sudden toxicity come from? Out of nowhere. Nothing different about the silver. Same stuff in circulation. Where did it come from? Conveniently out of nowhere. So prepare yourself. If there's truly an agenda, it's going to rear its ugly head even further.
And who funded the study? Okay. That's what people always have to investigate. And not only that, watch television, the commercials. The antibiotics, the aminoglycosides, especially that they give people with severe gram-negative infections, cause renal failure. Would you rather get renal failure, or would you rather have your skin turn gray if argyria is actually a problem, which I know it's not because I've researched this as well. There's only been 150 documented cases in 150 years. But before we run out of time, I would just like to bring up one of the most amazing realizations that I had in regards to a medical doctor by the name of Robert O. Becker, who was actually conducting extensive research into the curative properties of silver for many years at Upstate Medical Center in Syracuse University. Now, I actually received my associate's degree in radiologic technology from Upstate Medical Center. And guess what, Mario? Nobody ever mentioned his name. Isn't it funny how that works out? But in fact, Dr. Becker has done studies and has proven that silver works on the full spectrum of pathogens without any side effects or damage to the body. He also states that silver does more than kill disease-causing organisms. It causes major growth stimulation of injured tissues, which I proved to myself as well with burn patients. And he also stated in elderly patients, he saw more rapid healing. And he discovered that cancer cells can change back to normal cells. And he also did a lot of work in the healing of bone fractures that had severe osteomyelitis, which is a infection of the bone. And as you mentioned, he even did work regenerating limbs in amphibians. So I wonder why that research has been squelched.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I tell you what, the name of the book that he wrote, it's a very small book, and you can go through it fairly fast, and it covers the whole array of ionic silver, which he's the big promoter of ionic silver. And a lot of this regenerative properties of silver, they have to be in the ionic form. It's gone once it's a particle. Is he would cut off the limbs of salamanders, arms and legs, gone, and soak them in ionic silver, and the limbs would regrow 100%. Where have you heard that before? Now, that's not a theory. That's not a rumor. That's a book called The Electric Body that he wrote many years ago, and that he's used for burns, cuts, scrapes, and it gets into the ability of cells to differentiate, de-differentiate, and explains why scar tissue is formed when real tissue is unable to be formed on a very large area. Small cuts, the body heals up, there's nothing left behind. Big wounds, That's why he calls it the electric body, is because the cellular regeneration process is electric. And by putting something like silver in the ionic form, which can conduct electricity, allows the body to go through the differentiating processes to create the type of cell that ultimately is required by the body. So scar tissue is a last resort, and that's what the body resorts to. But if there's a catalyst in there that allows the body to do something it normally couldn't do before, you get the real tissue back. So this is another thing that's held back from the medical community big time. But then again, you know, there are hints of it out there that prove to you that silver has efficacious properties. You have silver-infused bandages. Go to Walgreens, CVS, Walmart, Eckerd's. Look in the medical section. There's, you know, Curate, I think, makes a silver-infused bandage. What is that there for? Why are catheters silver-coated? Why are water storage tanks lined with silver? You know, there are other metals have this same property called the oligodynamic effect. It's a property of metals that makes them extremely antibacterial. Copper, very antibacterial, but also very toxic. There's lots of metals that are possibly more antibacterial than silver, but they're highly toxic. That's the one thing. There's nothing magic about silver at all. If there's one great attribute that you can give to silver, is its extreme dictionary definition of extreme lack of toxicity, which goes right in the face of all the phony scares and the agenda-driven bad studies that are riddled with caveats, red herrings, catch-22s that entirely negate the study. So again, I hope folks download the PDF that I have walked through every claim at a time, and you'll get really familiar with how to weed through the disinformation.
Right. And another thing people have to also consider is the intention of the person doing what they're doing. As I've come to know you, Mario, you are a person of highest intention. I know that you got into this because you knew that silver was a very important, weapon against all these different diseases being created by the mad scientists, and you wanted to make it the best that it could be. And like I said, you've come out with a soap as well. I hope you will come out with a gel sometime in the future also. The one advantage to gel is that it does stay, you know, you don't have to spray so often. You can put the gel on and it stays moist for a longer period of time. But I'm so glad to have come to know you. I take my hat off to you. I will continue to promote your product because of how good it is and the amazing things it's done for myself and my family of critters. And like I always say, people, don't believe us. Check things out for yourself. But always consider the agenda of those who are saying bad things about silver, especially Big Pharma. As a matter of fact, the last thing I wanted to mention is that there was even a line of washing machines. I don't remember which company was producing them, but there were washing machines that were releasing silver into the rinse cycle. And for some reason, those were taken off the market as well. But as you said, you can go into any drugstore. You will find silver bandages. They're selling them now. There's no warning label like there is on toothpaste. If you buy toothpaste with fluoride, you'll see it says, if you swallow the toothpaste, call the poison control center immediately. Nobody's warning people about the dangers of their silver bandages.
No, absolutely. The washing machine was invented by Samsung. And the most logical reason I can find to why that was pulled off the market and the EPA of all people were pulled into this was because if that became a standard feature, which it should be in washing machines, where it releases a minute amount of silver into the rinse cycle, which keeps the final rinse from getting the moldy smell. Sometimes you forget that you didn't transfer your clothes 3 days ago to the dryer and they have the moldy smell. That's all the silver was there for, was to prevent the mold. And there's no question of whether or not that worked. That wasn't a theory. That wasn't a false claim. That's fact. The reason why it wasn't issued as a standard item or a patent that was sold to the other companies is because it would instantly educate the market on the antibacterial properties of silver. Everyone has a washing machine. Did you know that Logitech, the company that makes computer mice and keyboards, did you know they were fined $400,000 because they made the coating of a mouse, a computer mouse, impregnated with silver, and had the nerve to say it was antibacterial when it absolutely, absolutely is? They didn't consult the EPA and register it as a pesticide device. Can you believe that?
That's best I can because we live in hell. Mario, I want to thank you so much. Outstanding show. Folks, these archives will be available on the Light of Day Radio Show.com without the missing time from when Bill Gates and his Skype people cut us off. So thank you very much. Tomorrow on my These Changing Times show, I will have Kevin.
RyanTalkRadio.com. You could say that we're all talk.
This is rather interesting. This is one of the latest of Dear Leaders executive orders. And it was just posted up on his WhiteHouse.gov website. It's kind of a blueprint for peacetime martial law. And it gives the president the power to take